Beautiful people, Bobby the Awesome here. As many of you know, two things about me. One, I just opened a non-alcoholic bottle shop, is what they call it, but it's basically like a liquor store with no liquor. Because, as you know, the second thing about me is I would love everyone to be emotionally, physically, spiritually, and mentally healthy. This is in perfect alignment with using natural, helpful ways to take care of ourselves in all those facets. Here's one example. I drink too much cream in my coffee. Well, one of the products in the store is a moment. It's like a hot chocolate with wonderful cinnamon and nutmeg in it. And it has gotten me off of my 3 to 4 cup coffee habit by drinking this 15 calorie beverage every day instead of coffee. Whether you're looking to alternate or cut back on regular drinking of alcohol but have great flavor profiles, or want to drink something out of a sexy glass, or whether you're completely not drinking drinks that have things with antioxidants, brighten our mood, improve our digestive system, help us with brain fog. There's so many options, and they don't have to be drugs, traditional drugs. They can be just beautiful, good for us, things our bodies crave and need. So I am happy to announce that my online store, so you don't have to be here in Naugatuck, Connecticut. You can be anywhere in the country, in the US. You can shop as if you're in my store. You can customize what you want to order. You can order one of this, 10 of that. We're going to ship for free on orders over $50. There's many different alternatives in this space, and they taste so delicious. Everybody's taste is different, but there's a taste for every profile. Check out the selection. It's getting added to every single week. Check out 321nokidding.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thanks for checking us out. I love you, beautiful people. And now let's get started with today's show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to 321 No Kidding. Bobby the Awesome here, and today I am joined by Heather from New Wave Libations. Welcome, Heather.
Hello, everyone.
I love
it. I'm in Pittsburgh. First podcast ever.
Heather, to kick us off, I would love for you to introduce yourself to the audience. You're here as kind of two things, influencer and peer for my SIP series. So talk a little bit about how you fit into the non-alc community or the world that we're living in.
Sure. So I curate non-alcoholic events for marginalized communities. So I focus on the queer community as well as the Black and Brown communities. And it is a highly underserved area of safe spaces. Specifically safe spaces without alcohol. So I work towards providing those experiences for people.
Beautiful. Can you share some examples of what that might look like? What does that mean? Like, your language sounds amazing, but maybe illustrate it for us a little.
Sure. Well, my big event, my first event is coming up on Friday, June 21st, and it's called Pride AF. So AF could be interpreted as, it could be Pride as F, which I do like to say AF, things are AF, but it's also Pride Alcohol Free. So it's a 150 person fundraiser for local queer nonprofits. And I have a award-winning drag queen performing, a very well-known DJ in the queer community. I also have a lot of allies who are volunteering and working to make this first event a very welcoming, safe space for allies and the queer community here in Pittsburgh as well.
I love it. And thank you for saying Pittsburgh, because I think I stepped on you when you mentioned it first.
That's okay.
So you're doing the fundraiser to raise money for these nonprofits. Do you want to maybe share the nonprofits? And then I have like personal questions of like why this is
Sure.
important to you and what that looks like and a bunch of other things. But maybe let's
Absolutely.
talk about who is this going to benefit?
Okay, sure. So it is benefiting three different organizations. The first one is called True Tea Pittsburgh. They are a Black and trans nonprofit. So they specifically work with people who fall into many different marginalized genres, we'll say. And they're a support system. They have a podcast or a podcast space studio above where they are. They have a specific studio in their space where the walls are movable. So they can have parties, they can have game nights, they can host events. They teach voguing, which is ballroom, which comes from early on. I don't want to talk too much about it because I am not an expert on it, but it's from the 70s, if not prior. And they are just a force to be reckoned with here in Pittsburgh when it comes to support for their community. Pittsburgh Equality Center, they host monthly drag queen bingo events, which are 500 person events to raise money for Pittsburgh Equality Center themselves. And they will help people with housing. They help people with health care. They will be like an overall community to help people find the resources that they need. And then the Three Rivers Business Alliance Foundation. So they're the foundational educational part of the Three Rivers Business Alliance, which is our queer nonprofit, and allies that we have that I've just recently joined. And they work in education. So they will help people get their small business licensing or find opportunities for people who may be turned away for other reasons and really just to be a big support. But they also help people become certified nationwide if they are part of the LGBTQ plus community as well. So,
Wow, those
yeah.
all sound pretty amazing. How did you decide this was your path? I mean, you're here, you're a white woman, and
I'm
I'm just,
cisgendered. I'm straight. Yes.
yeah.
Yeah.
So tell me all about that.
So I've been an ally for a while now. I am actually asked this question a lot as I get more and more into who I am as a woman, as a person, as an ally. And I've had people in my life since I was very young. I can remember middle school. I marched color guard. I was in band. So I had majorettes around me. I had people around me who were very artistic and very active. And at the time, I didn't have a word for it. I didn't know. I just, hey, I have some very flamboyant friends. And as I got older, my first roommate was gay. And then people that I had crushes on, several of them were gay over the years, and I've always been boy crazy. So that was kind of hurtful sometimes, but it wasn't about me, right? And then I grew up in the goth and punk rock and industrial scene. And so being gender neutral or having a different kind of identity was very common. And again, we didn't have words for it back then. At least I didn't have words for it back then in the late 80s, 90s, early 2000s. And so it's just kind of progressed. But as certain rights have been taken away, I fall into it even more to be more of an advocate. I always want people to know that I'm not an ally for myself. I'm an ally for them. I fly my flags throughout the summer because if there is a person that's walking in the neighborhood and they're like, I just really wish I knew where there was a safe space or someone I could talk to, that's there for them. so that they know this is always a welcoming space. Myself, my husband, my father who lives next door, my sister who's also next door, like this is a community of allies for them. And so when I first started thinking about starting a business, first and foremost, inclusivity was my goal. So I wanted to have a brick and mortar store. So I didn't necessarily want it to be a gay bar, but it needed to be inclusive and a safe space. And as I moved away from the brick and mortar side of it, I thought, okay, well, I'll do events specifically for gay weddings or marginalized community weddings, different kinds of weddings. And then I decided, well, I don't want to have a trailer. I don't want to have a mobile bar because it's very difficult here, the food licensing and all that jazz. So finally, when we were at Mindful Drinking Fest, it took me 3 days to keep telling people what I was doing without having the language. And finally, on the third day, it just came to me, I curate non-alcoholic events for marginalized communities. And that's what it is. Between inclusivity, sustainability, and community, those are my three pillars. And those have been my pillars since day one. They've never, ever changed. So it's love. It's out of love. I'm not a mother of children. I have two adorable dogs. But I wholly believe in supporting people when they are different, when they're out of the norm, out of somebody else's norm, right? And so I have always, always, always felt safe in their spaces. I purposefully search out their spaces so I can be there, so I can be myself and not necessarily have to watch my back or just feel out of place. I've always, always, always felt safer in those communities than I have oftentimes in my own. So long story, sorry.
So many follow-up questions. There's two Bobbies in the world. I mean, they're all Bobby the Awesome, but one of them is Business Bobby, I call her. Mm-hmm. And she's creeping up. And then there's just normal daily life Bobby that has all this curiosity going around.
Sure.
So first of all, I want to celebrate the fact, like this words thing. I want to talk about that through the business lens and through this community lens. So I love how you said, you know, you practice, you're in this environment, and then you figured it out, but it was always there. That's really exciting. And then as you were talking, I was like, you want to talk about niche, gay, sober bar, like, who's doing that? So there was some brilliance behind that and logic, right? And you shared this light bulb with me because I'm like, well, geez, we need at least one sober social space in every county, at the very least, right? But there's to the 30 bars that it's, you know, competing against or up against. The stats will never be even, or who knows, maybe they will, but it's going to take a while. Sure. But that was on my, I never thought of that. I never thought about bars and their different demographics or their different business models. Mm-hmm. So that was a great aha. Thank you for that.
Sure.
And then what I think you're doing is genius. As far as this is the big one. There's a lot of genius parts and it's all done with love. So it's, you know, beauty genius too. But you're like, hey, I don't need to put myself in a box of this, of a brick and mortar, of a this, of a that. Let me do what I'm really good at, what I'm passionate about. And it goes back to your pillars of community. So my business, Bobby's getting like really excited with your clarity, your mission. It's just very well done. And I have to acknowledge that, Heather.
Thank you. Thank you. It's very easy because it's who I am. There is not a single day that I struggle with what I do or what I'm planning because it's who I am. I'm not trying to to be anything different. I make mistakes. I'm confident people are going to see them and be like, nah, she didn't get that right. Or she didn't explain that right. Or she didn't. That's okay. Teach me. I am a student and I want to learn. This is easy for me because it's out of love and out of joy.
And that's the genius part. That's what I mean about the beauty of the genius is you're in your zone and you're doing it. Yeah. And I'm so glad for you, like, that you found the thing. Now you brought me back to, I'm going to give you some context if that's okay. And I just finished. Have you read the book Mad Honey?
I have not.
Okay. Well, there's a book.
I'm not a big reader. I listen, but I don't read as much.
Well, I listened to it on Audible and it was great.
Okay.
But it was a very educational book, and it brings to light some of these conversations. But there's someone in town. So the end question is going to be how, as a white woman, hetero, cis, how do you bridge the gap on people around you that you want included, understanding that you're coming from a place of love and curiosity, even when you do screw up? That's that's the question. We can get into context or not, but if that's my question.
So the question, I just want to make sure. So the question is, how do I bridge the gap as who I am to reach the people I want to serve?
Or do you have advice? So I have to give you context, I guess, because there's been multiple situations. I had an employee that transitioned. I played volleyball with someone who transitioned.
Mm-hmm.
So when I went through the first one, it made me a little better for the second one. It was so hard when going through this and trying to say, hey, I'm here, mm-hmm. I'm a safe place, but mm-hmm. because there were so many other not safe places, and because I didn't have the vernacular right or the like lived experience, there was automatic distrust, right? Or I don't know if it's safe, or if I screwed up with the dead name, it's not. And I had to explain, it's not that I'm being disrespectful. It's that I've known you for X amount of time and it's a habit and it's a brain thing. It's not and yes, I'll raise my consciousness, right? But do you have any wisdom on how to help people? Cause there's people who aren't even, I'm a little bold, and I even think there's somebody in town, like when they were in the store, they gave me their pronouns and they said it. And I think I still somehow screwed it up because I could feel by the vibe, but I really want to be good about this. And I'm sure there's many, many, many people that want to do a better job, but don't have the tools in their toolbox. That's the context.
Well, hopefully there are many, many people who want to do better. Because unfortunately, we're not doing well enough. Correct. And we need more people to do better. We're not perfect. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And people come in all shapes and sizes. And so when you accidentally use a dead name or you accidentally use the wrong pronouns, my apologies and move on. You don't have to dwell on it. Different people are going to take it a different way. Some people are going to take it with love and use it as an opportunity. And some people are going to take it as immediate anger. Why did you do that? Why can't you get it right? If you're coming from a place of love, that's what matters, because they have their own struggles, right? Mm-hmm. So perhaps they just had a bad conversation with a parent who refuses to call them by their chosen name. And then they turn around and somebody else uses their dead name. It's not about you, right? None of it's about us.
Right.
It takes practice. It takes knowing people, right? Sometimes it's somebody that uses the pronouns they, them, but they are forward presenting as a different gender than what you may assume or what you may think they are presenting as, and you call them the wrong pronoun. Oh, my apologies. I'll do better next time. That's all. And move on. Don't dwell on it, because dwelling on it doesn't do any good. It just makes the situation even more uncomfortable. So that's what I would say. And it takes practice. I'm a journalism major. I went to school to be a writer. So when people started using they as a pronoun for one person, I struggled with that. And now I use the pronouns they, them more than anything, because then I'm not making assumptions. So
that was a clue. Yeah. That was a clue a couple gave me, that during the process, they practice that with every single person. And it does take some of the stress off of it. And I'm trying to practice that. Yeah, that's very good. Well, thank you. And you're right. It's interesting, because everything you're saying about the human dynamic, whether it's the queer community or recovery community or whatever the community, is all the same. It isn't about us. It's just about grace, compassion, and love. Like it's just foundational.
Right. There's always something we don't know. We are not them, right? Nobody knows what I've been through. No one knows what you've been through. No one knows what anybody else has been through. And the way we react to different things, we can control ourselves, but we can't control them. And so it comes in all different shapes and sizes.
Right. So tell us a little about, I'm still kind of curious. How did you just evolve into having strong language around it? Was it almost like taking a foreign language in school, kind of, and hopefully even that comparison, or is it just gradual the more you're in it?
Absolutely. It's gradual for me. I was fortunate enough to work at a major tech company that is extremely inclusive. And so we recognized specific days. We had specific events. We had DE&I teachings. I was part of a Pride newsletter serving as their editor. So I have specifically put myself into situations so that I can learn more. And then I carry that forward. The company I work for is very, very inclusive. And then the clients that I work for within the company are very inclusive as well. So I specifically choose to put myself in those situations so that I can learn more.
You used an acronym in there, DEI.
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Okay. I wanted to
Which is being canceled in certain states and certain universities. Universities are no longer allowed to teach diversity, equity, inclusion. Professors are losing their jobs left and right now. States are outlawing it. It is happening across our country.
They're outlawing it. Wait.
Yes.
All right. Let me the ask teachings. This from a very ignorant lens. Okay. Because we'll just pretend that I'm very ignorant. The little I know is that laws tell companies that they have to be inclusive and have certain stats and ratios and benefits. Mm-hmm. But now the same states are making it illegal to teach companies how to do that for the good of the company and the good of the human. Did I get that?
Yes. So there are certain governors in different states who are specifically outlawing teachings of diversity, equity, inclusion in colleges. They are removing, you probably know there's book bans across our country. And yes, that is exactly what's happening, is we have been on this forward path for so long to be inclusive. And now there's become this huge backlash of going to the complete opposite extreme. There are certain people who don't want Black history taught, or they want to choose the whiteness of the Black history. They want specific viewpoints of Black history to be taught, not actual Black history. They want white Black history to be taught, if at all. As well as they don't want people to use the word gay, the don't say gay law down in one of our southern states. Oh, this is massive. I mean, there's more than 500 anti-LGBTQ bills in the legislature right now. That's in 2024. Last year, there were 470 something for the entire year. This year, in just 4 months, there have been more than 500 presented across the states. It's erasure. They're trying to erase different people's cultures, people as human beings. That's why I'm so passionate about what I do and the people that I want to be a part of, because it's crazy. It's unbelievable how people are trying to be erased right now, or how people are trying to erase others from our world.
I'm generally not speechless.
Bobby, it's horrible. I mean, I would encourage you or anybody who just doesn't even know where to start, just go to the Human Rights Campaign and it's there.
What I don't understand is how people, now I don't understand all people, right? We all have our experiences in the lens we look through things. Mm-hmm. And I can give a lot of compassion around that, but I don't understand. That's like hate legislation. Like what?
100%, 100%. It is hate legislation. Yes.
So it's bad enough. I don't want to say it's bad enough, because right, like so if we hate the haters in that context, then we're essentially the same, right? Like, so love, grace, and compassion, they have their lens. But what I can't wrap my head around is you're not talking about one person's point of view if it's a legislation versus a jerk or groupthink on the streets kind of thing. Like their whole livelihoods based on this. I'm sorry. This is supposed to be the Heather show. And I just fell so completely blind.
That's like, okay. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about it. I mean, no, we didn't plan on this being a political conversation. And we don't have to carry on with the political conversation. It's just, but I'm so glad you asked, because perhaps this conversation will reach other people who had no idea, would have no idea. And people have to be, we have to be informed. We have to be informed. We have to pay attention. We have to read what's happening, and we have to step out of our box. If we stay in our own little box, people are going to be erased from our history, from our culture, from our everyday lives. And I'm not just talking about the queer community. I'm talking about Blacks and Brown community as well. You and I, we're good, but it's devastating. It really is. So.
Wow. Well, thank you for helping all of those people.
Absolutely.
For educating me and my audience. This is insane to me through my lens, but yeah. Okay. So tell me about the gala. Tell me. Well, this really is taking my brain, mm-hmm. is in a, it, you know, we got politics covered. Now I'm thinking about God and religion, which gets me like, I know like we're all God. So how can there be so many freaking walls and, anyway, so that's where my brain's going. So let's talk happy thoughts. Not to dismiss the topic. That's not what I'm trying
No, but I'm sure that's not why your listeners are here. They're, you know, different reasons. If they want to have a different conversation, we can have a different conversation at another time. I'll let them tell you what they want more of.
That's fair.
Because religion is a whole nother side of things. So yeah. Okay, so the gala. So I first and foremost have to say thank you to Geese and Wines, because they were the first sponsor to sign on. And they reached back out. And actually, no, I met them at Mindful Drinking Fest.
Yes.
And met Jeremy, who is actually the rep for my area, and told him what I was doing. And he was like, great. And he reached out to me. And I planned a 50-person wedding and swore I would never plan another wedding again. And now I'm planning a party that is 3 times as big as my wedding. From the budget to sponsors, to partnerships. And I do want to say I am partnering with The Open Road. So Mel from The Open Road has been so gracious to let me use her name and her logo on things and then say, here you go, do what you want to do.
Can you tell everybody what The Open Road is?
Sure. So The Open Road is the oldest non-alcoholic bottle shop in the U.S. There was a bottle shop that opened prior to The Open Road, but they closed, I believe. So Mel is, and she doesn't call herself a bottle shop because she was originally going to be a bar. COVID happened. She found a space and she has grown year over year over year. And fortunately, because we live in Pennsylvania, we have very odd liquor laws. So we can't go find these non-alcoholic drinks at Ross and at Home Goods and CVS and Rite Aid, places that we're seeing popping up with 60% off sales and things like that. So Mel has a very good opportunity here in Pittsburgh because we don't have competition. So yeah, so that's who The Open Road is. She's so much more. They are so much more. Their business is so much more. But me approaching Mel saying, hi, this is me. This is who I am. Can I kind of just follow you around and be a little kid and have you mentor me? And she's like, yeah, absolutely. That's it.
Really cool.
Since the first day. So, and then I said, I would like to have an event. Would you like to be a part of it? Absolutely. You can use my name. However, I probably can't help you much. That's fine. I'm a little social, if you couldn't tell. So I'm great with networking and I didn't mind at all. So I just took it and ran with it. So Geese and Wines was our first sponsor. There's absolutely, we will send you the product. We will send you different kinds of product. And it just went from there. And so we have Geeson, so free spirits as well. Amethyst, of course, because Jane is amazing. Everybody's amazing, but Parch. So they also Mindful Drinking Vest, but we're like, yeah, we'll support you. RSRV Collective, which was the first non-alcoholic brand I met when I was attending Sands Bar Academy. So I reached out to them and they're like, yeah, we'll send you some product. So here in Pittsburgh, AIDS Free Pittsburgh signed on PFLAG Pittsburgh, which is Parents and Family of Lesbians and Gay. For people who don't know what PFLAG is and didn't see Reality Bites, if you were a Gen Xer and you didn't see it, that's where I first learned about PFLAG. Topaz Thimble, and what she does is she makes gender inclusive clothing for people. And she shared a story with me about a person who was transitioning and they were fitted pre-transition. And then when they came back to put on their, I believe is a tuxedo post-transition, the emotion that went through all of them just to see that change. And it was like the story she told us was like, oh my God. So she's like, absolutely. So Teetotal Initiative that we have here in Pittsburgh, they are a completely non-alcoholic event business. Everything is free. And so they just had a sushi class last week. I've been to some art classes. I've been to comedy nights with them. They do different events all the time, always free and open to the public. But they do specifically work with no alcohol, zero alcohol. Colorful Voices is my big, big sponsor. He recently just signed on, and he is a gentleman who is a former, he is a veteran. He's a Black and gay gentleman who was sexually assaulted in the military. And now he has a seat at the table when it comes to negotiations. He also works with coaching and counseling people who have gone through these traumatic situations as well. And then 5801, they're one of our local gay bars here. Amazing drag performances and food, all the bitter, abstinence, and Two Phrase Brewing. They're doing in-kind donations. Sunken Bus Studios is where we're hosting it. And that's Steve Hofstetter's comedy club now. We have a media partner of the city paper. They're doing media for us. And I have a photographer, Maya Lavro. So they and their partner, they said, absolutely, we'll be there for you. And we'll donate in kind as well for the silent auction. Like I said, Rojo is doing our music, and then Dixie Sherwood, who is an award-winning drag queen, she will be performing for us as well. So it's phenomenal. The support that I've been given, the walls that just, they just open, and it just, the universe just tells me every day, every time I talk to somebody else, I'm doing the right thing. I'm on the right path. It's going to be successful. And this is not the first event, like, or this is the first event, but I want to do a big event annually with quarterly events mixed in. So, excuse me. I don't even know if I answered the question.
I wanted to hear about the event itself. And really giving all the sponsors some love is really important, because things like this can't happen without the brands and the sponsors.
100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you listed quite a few of my faves on there, and then some that I got to get to know, because they sound like our kind of people.
Right.
So why does non-alc fit into this?
Mm-hmm. Well, so obviously I'm more knowledgeable about the queer community than I am the Black and brown community. So
I know what you mean.
I think I totally forgot what I was going to say. I'm going to talk about the queer community because I don't have enough knowledge about the Black and brown communities. Their lives often involve around alcohol from young ages, to, you know, adulthood. There's gay bars everywhere. Not everywhere, but there's a lot of gay bars that people can attend, and they are all heavy drinking bars. There are not non-alcoholic opportunities as commonly found in queer spaces as there are for non-queer spaces. And I'm saying this knowing that we don't have a lot of non-alcoholic spaces, right? But our nightlife, we could maybe have an opportunity to not drink, but it's just part of their culture to drink. And, you know, I'm not a psychologist, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know why, but I'm sure there's reasons behind that.
For sure. I'm finding, I guess I'm doing all right, because I am getting some of the community in. And they like the non-alc part, as a general rule, but we're infused with weed that's such a big part of the culture too. So it's one or the other seems to be what's happening around here. I don't even know if Pennsylvania is legal or not legal, but,
medicinal.
Oh, okay. But that's across all my guests. It doesn't matter who any of that, it's
right.
The stats are probably the same, but anyway, I totally got completely sidetracked. So non-alc to help them. And then you were talking about black and brown and not knowing as much. My experience has been, so I've been in 12-step meetings across different from Kansas, upstate New York. I've gone, inner city, like a lot of different ones, LA. And in gambling especially, I know that there's black and brown gamblers, for example, but they're not at the meetings. So it makes me wonder, as a general rule, I mean, again, the population doesn't match who's in the room, as depending on, the location. So I felt like that's what you were trying to communicate in some way, that there needs to
Thank
be,
you.
but like my recovery coach and the director of the old facility in upstate New York, they're both black gentlemen, that showed up, for all of us and had all kinds of, they did a really good job with inclusive and leadership. But yeah, I always wonder, I'm in a few sober communities online and there's not a black and brown population. It's so minimal. So how do we get them in? I've been asking myself that for a few years. So you doing it and addressing it and marrying all these, calling it inclusivity, and your other word, minimal, marginalized.
Marginalized.
Marginalized. I
And
think
some people don't like that word, and I recognize that. So some people may not like the language that I'm using, but it's the language that I have and that I know. So, yeah.
I know I would look it up to understand how it fits, but if you're finding out that it is more received than not received, it's that's the thing. It's literally so fluid right now.
Absolutely.
It
Right. Life is fluid. We all change. We
is.
all change. We all grow, hopefully.
Yeah. Someone said to me the other day, well, why do you call it non-alcoholic drinks instead of non-alcohol? And I'm,
Oh.
because there's stigma around
Sure.
alcoholic. And I was like, well, that's a great question. I think it's maybe your journalist will appreciate this, but the ick at the end is like the adverb or the conjunction or the whatever that
Sure.
makes it the thing. I didn't make it up. I'm just going with the flow. But
Right.
interestingly enough, made some comment and then content, and a customer comes in and they're like, just non-alcohol. So they received it. Maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but let's just make people
Wow.
feel good.
Sure. Let's meet in the middle. We can all meet in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, how can my listeners find you? How can they help you? What do you need, Miss Heather?
What do I need? I need followers. I'm new to the social media game. I'm not a big fan of having to use social media to get the word out. There was a time when I was posting like every day about the gala when I first started, and then I just realized like I had so much to focus on. That the social media part is falling behind. But now that I've finished with my sponsors for this particular year, and now I'm focusing on getting my media printed, I'm hoping to be able to start being on Instagram more. So I definitely, please follow me. I am New Wave PGH. Which is Pittsburgh, for those of you that don't know, the abbreviation for Pittsburgh, it's PGH. And my website is the same. It's newwavepgh.com. I do have a page specifically for the gala. It's the Pride AF Gala. That's my webpage. If you know people who are in Pittsburgh and they would like to have an event that is non-alcohol and they it may or may not be part of a marginalized community. If you look like me, that's totally fine. I have no problem, with that. It's as long as you're an inclusive person at heart, right? So yeah, I mean, I would love to just spread the word. and follow me so that I can just get some more traction.
Now,
I think that's what I need.
Is there, the tickets are available on your website?
Tickets are available on my website, yes. And they are also available on Handstamp, which is a non-alcohol pop-up promoter from New York. And they're also a Sands Bar Academy grad, which is how I found out about them. So I want to support small business. So I want them instead of Eventbrite.
Oh, okay. I didn't, I don't think I knew they existed.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you for making me smarter. Heather, is there anything I forgot to ask or that you want to share that I might have left off the table because I was so fascinated with so much of this?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'm very honored and appreciative to be here. And thank you for asking the questions that you did and for just letting me be me. And thank you to your listeners who listened the whole way through and weren't like, what the heck did I listen to today? You know, where did this, how'd this happen? It's great to have conversations like this. So
it really is.
Thank you.
I get so much value out of listening to the guests and having the opportunity to pick their brains. I appreciate you and I appreciate everything that you're doing for everybody.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hi again, beautiful people. Still me. One other thing I wanted to let you know is I screwed up and I have moved in the background different podcast providers. And in the process, I lost all my ratings, all my reviews, all my stars and all those things. So I am building from the ground up. So if you found that you enjoyed the show and you want to help support me in a free way that takes about 30 seconds, I would love it. Give me a follow, a rating, a review. Be honest, because I want to make this the best experience for you. But if you can help me in that way, I would greatly appreciate it. Thanks again, beautiful people. Love ya.